दिखा देते हैं भटके तो उसे राह दिखा देते हैं। कर्बला वालों की आवाज सुना दे कर्बला वालों की आवाज सुना देते हैं। नींद जाती है जब गैरत इस्लामी को हम उसे मातमे सरवर से जगा दे ते हैं। कोई भटके तो जो मज़हरे औसाफ़े खुदा होते हैं जो मज़हरे औसाफ़े खुदा हर हाल में राजी बा रजा होते हैं। हर हाल में राजी बा रजा हो है। अर्शे खुदा जिसकी सुकूनत का मकाम दुनिया में गरीबुल गुरबा मज़हरे औसाफ़े
अल्लाहुम्मा सल्लि अला मुहम्मद व आलि मुहम्मद।
एक और बात
अल्लाहुम्मा सल्लि अला मुहम्मद व आलि मुहम्मद।
सलाम की चाशे उसको बुलाओ बैठा हुआ भेजने जा रहा हूँ। अच्छा चलो हा मुर्तजा भेजे गए थे मुस्तफा के वास्ते मुर्तजा भेजे थे मुस्तफा के वास्ते और मोहम्मद मुस्तफा आए खुदा के वास्ते और मोहम्मद मुस्तफा کے واسطے مرتضی بھیجے گئے تھے مصطفیٰ کے واسطے الفت آلے پیم بر ہے شفاعت کی سنا دل میں رکھ ان کی ولا روز جزا کے واسطے مرتضی بھیجے گئے تھے مصطفیٰ کے واسطے مشکلیں آسان تر ہوتی مجھ پر تمام آسان تر ہوتی گئی مجھ پر تمام جب بھی مشکل میں دیے مشکل کشا کے واسطے مرتضی بھیجے گئے تھے مصطفیٰ کے واسطے جائے پیدائش علی کی جس طرح ہے اس طرح ہے مسلمانوں کرو سجدے خدا کے واسطے مرتضی بھیجے گئے تھے مصطفیٰ کے واسطے اکبر محمد اور حسن کے لال کو تربیت عباس نے دی کربلا کے واسطے تربیت عباس نے دی کربلا کے واسطے مرتضی بھیجے گئے تھے مصطفیٰ کے واسطے بھائی پیاسا ہے میرا سوکھے گلے پر ترس کا کند خنجر میں چلا ظالم خدا کے واسطے مرتضی بھیجے گئے تھے مصطفیٰ کے واسطے سربر نجب حرم دربار میں لائے مسترب تھی بیبیاں کتنی رضا کے واسطے مرتضی بھیجے گئے تھے مصطفیٰ کے واسطے اور محمد مصطفیٰ آئے خدا کے واسطے مرتضی بھیجے گئے فاتحہ تھے مرضی پروردگار پر مجبور دل کو رکھتے تھے کس اختیار پر دیتے تھے جان جاؤ صبر و قرار پر, چلتے تھے مسلک پدر نامدار پر, چلتے تھے مسلک پدر نامدار پر, طاہر کاظمی شہ عالی جناب میں دل میں جو روشنی تھی نہیں آفتاب میں, دل میں جو روشنی تھی نہیں آفتاب, خیر الانام آئے عادت کے واسطے چھوڑا مدینہ ان کی رفاقت کے واسطے, بنت رسول پوت کی راحت کے واسطے, دیتی تھی حق و قدرت و رحمت کے واسطے, دیتی تھی حق و قدرت و رحمت کے واسطے, لگتے جگر کے غم میں حسن کو نہ ہو آگاہ رنج زہر سے وہ سبز پوشتا, آگاہ رنج زہر سے وہ سبز پوشتا, بے کاس حسین روتے ہوئے کربلا سے سجاد ناتوان بھی صدمے بہت, کہتا تھا جاؤ پیار کے تشریف سا بیتا بیا وہ باقرو جعفر کی, بیتا بیا وہ باقرو جعفر کی, گریاں جفائے بانی بیداد سے کاظم پسر سے ملنے کو بغداد سے چلے, کاظم پسر سے ملنے کو بغداد سے, تعلیم کر کے بیٹے کو اسرار کرد گار عازم ہوئے بہشت کے آقا نام, درد و جگر سے روح تھی قالب میں بے قرار, پہلو میں دل تھا زہر کے تاثیر سے فگار, پہلو میں دل تھا زہر کی تاثیر سے نگاہ, سوجا ہوا تھا سب تن اقدس حضور کا, گھٹنا جل کے گھٹنا جل کے صدمے سے آنکھوں کے نور کا, گھٹنا جل کے صدمے سے آنکھوں کے نور, تھوڑی سی رات گزری تھی ڈوبا جو وہ کمر, شیعوں کے رہنما نے جہاں سے کیا آثار, حشر آنے لگے ہر طرف غربت پہ بے وطن کی ملائک تھے نو اگر, غربت پہ بے وطن کی ملائک تھے نو, جب رو رہے تھے غم تھا مصیبت نصیب کا, آجے ہوا پہ شور تھا باطل غریب کا, آجے ہوا پہ شور تھا باطل غریب, وہ وقت آ گیا کہ ہوئے قلب آب آ, میت کا غسل ہونے لگا روپ چہ, پہنا ہوا کفن میں دل و جان بوترا, مجھے شرف کا چاند ہوا داخلے صاحب جے شرف کا چاند ہوا داخل رستے بھرت ماتمیوں کے ہجوم تابوت اٹھا غریب خراساں کا دوم سے تابوت اٹھا غریب خراساں کا دوم چند جن عورتوں کے عقد کو گزری تھی ایک شب لے لے کے شوہروں سے اجازت روتی تھی ساتھ ساتھ جنازے کے بے ادب روتی تھی ساتھ ساتھ جنازے کے بعد میں ماں تھا ان کا محسن امت شاہ عرب میں ماں تھا ان کا محسن امت شاہ ایسا کبھی کسی کا جنازہ اٹھا نہ تھا ملک عجم تھا وادی کرب و بلا نہ تھا ملک عجم تھا وادی کرب و بلا کرتا ہوں یاد آپ کو اس وقت یاد بے غسل و بے کفن شاہ گلگوں کا باہ مقتول ظلم بے کس و بے آشنا پروردہ کنارے رسول خدا حسین پروردہ کنارے رسول خدا کس کا سہارا تھا بدن پاش پا ملا تیروں کا تابوت لاش کو ہے ملا تیروں کا تابوت لاش کو راضی رضا تے مرضی ہے
Mumineen, Assalamu Alaikum. As most of you already know, I've been announcing it for the last few nights, we are having camp tonight and tomorrow with Maulana Syed Abbas Elia Sahab. And as you know, just a reminder for our adults and our youth, the topic tonight is about parenting, raising children in America. A very important topic for our parents, but also for young adults, inshallah, who'll be parents to be soon. So please join us for tonight's program and also tomorrow the topic is identity as a Shia Muslim in America. Also a very important topic as you know for our youth and sometimes for adults as well. So for both topics, Maulana will be here. Tonight's program will start right after Majlis tonight. We're aiming for 10:30 or so, but maybe by 11 we'll start the program. And boys and men, adults also will be staying here in Bayt Wali Al-Asr, and sisters will be staying overnight at Sister Hashma Jaffrey's house, which is about 10 minutes from here. So please join us for tonight and tomorrow's program. And tomorrow morning, we have a brunch for all of you at 10:30. And so please join us for that. We have Nihari for that, especially Irfani Nihari from Irfan Bhai. So please join us for that as well. And I would like to request all of you to please come as much forward as possible. I know it's difficult sometimes, but yahan tak aa jaye aap log to be perfect. And then inshallah, we'll be, more people will be joining later. Loud salawat from Maulana, inshallah.
Thank you. Please recite a Surah Al-Fatiha for the following Marhumeen: Sayyid Aftab Hussain Abidi, Marhuma Samana Khatun, Nazim Zaidi Ibn Hashim Hussain, Sayyid Kazim Hussain Musawi, Saleha Musawi, Sayyida Ja'fari, Mehdi Hassan Ja'fari, Sayyid Taqi Ali Khan. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لساخت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم والذين آمنوا أشد حبا لله وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم من تواضع رفعه الله ومن تكبر وضعه الله صلوات We have been discussing the alaim and the signs of muhabbat and love, and last night we talked about the first sign of love, which is ikhlas and sincerity towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And tonight is the turn for the second sign, which is tawadhu and modesty. And this is something which has been found in all the saliheen. And there is no way whatsoever that a person can become beloved in the eyes of Allah and close to Allah unless and until we ignore ourselves. We ignore ourselves and we do not give any value to ourselves and become down to earth and humble. The more a person becomes humble, mutawadhi, and down to earth, the closer he gets to the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, and the closer he gets to Allah and earns their muhabbat and becomes mahbub of Allah and the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. And the person, anyone who lacks the tawadu and modesty, he must understand that there is no way for him to become close to the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. Because the opposite of tawadu, if a person is not mutawadhi and humble, the opposite of that is takabbur and istikbar, means considering ourselves to be big and arrogant. And this is something which Allah rejects in its totality. And we find the hadith of the Holy Prophet, which I recited in the beginning of the majlis. Our beloved Prophet is saying, "Man tawadha'a rafa'ahu Allah." Whoever has tawadhu, whoever shows modesty, whoever has the modesty and being down to earth, Allah elevates him. See, the reason why a person wants to show takabbur is that he wants to consider himself to be big, he wants to pretend to be big, and he perceives by that through arrogance he can elevate himself. Isn't that right? That's what the people perceive. They think by showing the arrogance they can become big, and they are elevating themselves by the arrogance that they are displaying. Whereas the Holy Prophet is saying exactly the opposite. He's saying that man tawadha'a rafa'ahu Allah. Whoever does the tawadhu and modesty, Allah elevates him. No one can get elevated by himself, and no one can get elevated by someone else elevating you unless and until Allah elevates you. And no one can be downed by himself or by anyone else unless and until Allah downs him. So Prophet has already said, وَمَن تَكَبَّرَ وَضَعَهُ اللَّهُ. Whoever does the takabbur, the arrogance, the istikbar, Allah downs him, Allah lowers him, Allah puts him down. So we must understand that every single existence in the universe is part of the army of God. Because Quran has already said, لِلَّهِ جُنُودُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. For Allah is the armies of heavens and earth. When Namrud showed the arrogance towards Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a disabled mosquito whose leg was broken. Look at how Allah punishes the arrogance. He doesn't need elaborate arrangements for punishing a taghut, arrogant person. Even the smallest of the creatures that we know to be so weak and small can do the assigned task. Every particle of the universe is actually performing the assigned task. We may not discover what is the assignment assigned to that particle in the universe. That's a lack of knowledge on our part that doesn't give us the license to say, you know, it's just happening coincidentally. In the Islam of Ahlul Bayt, we don't believe in ittifaq and coincidence at all. Nothing is happening coincidentally. Everything has a reason and wisdom. So for Namrud, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, he sends a mosquito who is disabled from one leg. And look at what the mosquito does. Mosquito enters into one of the nostrils and causes so much pain for this arrogant that now he is asking the closest people of his own darbar and court to start beating him up with the shoe. His own closest people standing in the court and supporting him for his agenda are now opposing and insulting him by beating him up with a shoe. Because that's the only way he used to find comfort. Man tawadha'a rafa'ahu Allah. Prophet said, whoever does tawadhu, Allah elevates him. Waman takabbara وَضَعَهُ اللَّهُ. Whoever does arrogant, Allah downs him. When it comes to Pharaoh, Fir'aun, we find he used to say, Quran narrates, أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَىٰ, I am your greater Lord. So see, there's a Lord up there, but I am the Lord there. He's the Lord of the heavens, but I am the Lord of earth. And I happen to be bigger than him. أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَىٰ, I am the bigger Lord of yours. Look at how Allah punishes him. Isn't it right? And Allah doesn't make haste in punishments either. That's also a very important thing to be understood when we're talking about the punishment. Because we make haste in punishing the opponents because we think our power and strength can no longer remain. Isn't it right? So let's be quick in punishing. Second of all, we think that our enemy can escape. Isn't it right? These are the two reasons why we, the weak human beings, make haste in punishing our opponents. Whereas in the case of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, none of those two applies. Neither Allah is losing anything from his power, and no one has the power to snatch away nothing from him. Isn't it right? His sifat and attributes are Ainul Zat, nothing but his essence. And no enemy of Allah can escape. Imam Amir al-Mumin alayhi salam has said in Dua Kumail, La yumkinul firaru min hukumatik. Running away from your government, your realm, is not possible. So he doesn't need to make haste. Everything has a time frame and a deadline fixed in the divine wisdom. We may not understand what is the deadline for that specific creature. Allah continues to give life and allows a zalim person, an oppressor, to survive. Isn't it right? For as long as his wisdom dictates, so he can take punishment for another zalim by imposing this zalim on the other. So one zalim is kept alive until that zalim is subjected on another one to take punishment from him. Isn't it right? So we are not supposed to make haste. None of the Ahlul Bayt made haste towards their enemies. They are the mazhar and reflection of Allah. We are silly in sometimes in our du'as in making haste, isn't it right? Not the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. So we find that even the bad-du'as of Ahlul Bayt, that's another very elaborate subject, the concept of la'nat in Islam, what exactly the word la'nat means, isn't it right? And who are those people who are supposed to be cursed, and how much and why? Now that's not my subject tonight. So what I was saying is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't make haste. Allah, every particle is doing the assigned task on behalf of Allah. We don't understand, but that's the case. So Allah, when it comes to Fir'aun, Allah punishes this arrogant person through one wave of the Nile. One wave of water is enough for Fir'aun to get punished. Isn't it right? There's no need for elaborate arrangements. And although he, in the final moments, said that I become a mu'min, I happen to believe now in the Lord of Musa and Harun. But that kind of iman is not accepted by from anyone. Somebody comes and asks Imam Rida alayhi salam, the Fir'aun accepted the iman. He became a mu'min. He accepted it in the final moments before dying. Why didn't Allah accept his iman? Imam Rida alayhi salam replied back, لأنه آمن عند رؤية البعث. Because he became a mu'min after, at the time when he saw the death. والإيمان عند رؤية البعث غير مقبول. And iman, at the time of seeing the death is unacceptable. So we are supposed to have iman before the curtains are removed and you start seeing the angel of death coming towards you. before that occasion, that's the deadline. You can become a mu'min, but not after that when the curtains are already removed and you see the angel of death coming towards you. So we find Allah has His own arrangements for punishing the arrogants. And when the arrogants in the time of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam are chasing our holy Prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assigns a weak spider to make a web. Isn't it right? There's no need for Allah to make elaborate arrangements. One weak spider can perform the task that Allah is commanding. And because all these things are part of Alamut Takween, the world of existences, not Alamut Tashri', the world of the Sharia and the legislature and do's and do nots. We the humans and jinns are the only two members of the Alamut Tashri'. So, and that's where you find the arrogances, that's where you find the disobedience in the name of freedom or democracy or women's rights or whatever. The label is not important. So all those disobedience are in Alamut Tashri', in the world of humans and jinns. They are most who are disobeying. But the rest of the creatures are not part of Alamut Tashri'. Let's be clear, they are part of Alamut Takween. And there's a zero disobedience towards Allah in Alamut Takween. So Allah commands this weak spider, and the spider does the commanded assignment perfectly to save the life of the Holy Prophet from those arrogant mushrikeen. Isn't it right? Sometimes the desert lizard perform the task. Sometimes the rocks and the stones do the task. Prophet was holding rocks and stones in his hand, and they did tasbih in the hand of Rasulullah. And he handed over the same rocks into the hand of Imam Ali alayhi salam, and they also did tasbih in the hand of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Please say salawat. And he handed over the rocks into the hand of Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salam. And the tasbih, and the rocks did the tasbih of Allah in the hands of Imam Hassan alayhi salam. And he handed over into the hand of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salatu wasalam. And the rocks started to do the tasbih of Allah in the hand of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. And Umar ibn al-Khattab was present there. And he took the stones. And then he was holding the stone, the rocks in his hand, and it did not read the tasbih. And he said to Rasulullah, what happened to these rocks? They speak up in the hands of some people, but they don't speak up in the hands of some others. And Prophet replied back, they speak in the hands of a prophet or a wasi of the Holy Prophet. Please say salawat. So the rocks are also assigned agents from behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isn't it right? Just like the fish in the time of Hazrat Yunus was an assigned agent. Isn't it right? Doing the assigned task. Hazrat Yunus alayhi salam was sent towards the city what we call today as Mosul in Iraq. That's where he was sent. And he propagated for 40 days that, you know, about Tawheed, but the people were arrogant. People were showing takabbur and istikbar. And they didn't accept Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he complains towards Allah, he does his munajat and whispers towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah asks him to propagate for another 40 days. If they don't become mu'mins, we are going to send azab on them. He propagated for the next 37 days. And when it was the 37th, he left the town. Because obviously according to the promise of God, the azab is now supposed to arrive very soon, and after the next 3 days. So on the 37th day he left the town, and obviously what happens is that upon the fixed time, the cloud came on top of that population. And the narration says the cloud was showering fire. There was fire
showing obviously to about to fall down on this entire city. Well, these kinds of punishments don't arrive any longer nowadays, despite the fact that the sins of the Ummat of Rasulullah are not less than the sins of the previous nations. Actually, they are way more than that. That's another dalil and concrete evidence for our people, our mu'mineen and the believers and all those people who are serious to discover the haq and truth, to understand the greatness of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. Because Quran is clear when saying, مَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لَيُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَأَنْتَ فِيهِمْ. Allah is not going to punish them as long as you are among them. As long as Prophet is in them. And right now Prophet has departed this world. And this, in the light of this ayat, we understand there is somebody existing on the planet who is the Khalifa and Wali and Naib of Rasulullah. And because of his presence, the Azab is still not arriving on this planet. And that is the Wujudun Mubarak of Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam. مَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَأَنْتَ فِيهِمْ وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ مُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. So we have two blank checks. Basically, we have two blank checks issued by Allah. The check number one is the presence of the Imam of our time, of one of the member of Ahlul Bayt. And the blank check number two from Allah, that the punishment will not befall on this ummah, is as long as they do the istighfar. So as long as we do the istighfar, despite the fact that there are so many crimes happening, the punishment is not arriving at as it used to arrive for the previous generations. So we find that previous generations were different. So the cloud of fire came and it stood on top of the population about to shower the fire. And the king of that population was a wise man. See, they showed arrogance and takabbur in front of Hazrat Yunus. But now, when they realize, you know, we find he commanded his nation to everybody should come out. And the men should get separated from the women. And the children must get separated from their parents. So that's the same way they did. So everybody came out in a wide open field. And women separately standing, men standing separately doing the munajat and istighfar towards Allah. People saying that, oh our Lord, we did the wrong and we are apologizing and repenting for our takabbur, our behavior towards Yunus. He was asking us to free our slaves. We disobeyed him. But now we are your slaves. So forgive us. He asks us to have mercy on the poor. Now we are the ones who are poor and overwhelmed by your punishment. So have mercy on us. And that's the only one incident in the history where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, allowed the nation not to be punished after witnessing the azab. There's the only single incident that we know in the Islamic history. So we find that azab was terminated and instead a cloud of mercy was sent as a replacement. Hazrat Yunus already left. Now obviously he is now punished with the itab. We don't have azab on the ma'soom. Prophet Yunus is a prophet. Every prophet is infallible. They don't do sins. Isn't it right? For a sin, we use the Arabic word azab. For a tarkul awla, that several prophets did the tarkul awla, something that is better to be avoided, but they did not avoid. So he did a tarkul awla too. He was not supposed to leave on day number 37. What is the tarkul awla that he did? He was supposed to take permission from Allah before departing the town. But he did not take permission from God and left on the day number 37. That's the tarkul awla of Hazrat Yunus alayhi salam. So now every tarkul awla has an itab, not the azab. And this is the itab that he would face. So hasanatul abrar sayyatul muqarrabin. Isn't it right? The good deeds of the regular good doers. You know, is if the muqarrab people, the close personalities towards Allah, also end up doing the regular good deeds of the regular good people. Isn't it right? Those, if the close personalities, muqarrabeen of Allah, also start doing the regular good deeds which the abrar, the regular good people, are performing, the regular good deeds for them, the close people, is considered to be as sins. Isn't it? Because you, there is much more expectation from you. You are a muqarrab personality. You are a close personality to Allah. You're not expected from Allah to do just a regular good deed. You're expected from Allah to do higher. Isn't it right? But he did not do that high. Isn't it right? So we find that this is the Tarkul Awla, and now there's a punishment. So he went and gets aboard the ship. There are so many people already present on the ship, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends the waves. The waves are now assigned agent on behalf of Allah to cause the storm. The boat is about to get drowned. Now they're talking among themselves, who is a sinner on the boat? Because of his presence, this boat is not stable. And Hazrat Yunus said, it's me. He said, people said, please don't say that. You are the only hope for us. You are the Prophet of God. Please don't say that. He said, you don't know. I know. He said, I know about myself more. So he finally, obviously the people respected the Prophet. They didn't buy that argument. Then finally it was decided, let's do the Qur'ah. Let's do a draw. Write the names of all the people on the board. And let's do the draw. So find out who is the sinner. So we all get rid of this problem, this trouble. 7 times the Qur'an was done. The draw took place in the names of every person aboard the ship. 7 times. And each of those 7 times, the name of Prophet Yunus came up. And finally, it was decided. Quran says, "Fasahama fakana min al mudhavin." So they together, he together with the rest of the people. In other words, which I'm paraphrasing all these ayats and narrations in my words. So he, along with the rest of the people, did the Qur'an and the draw, and he became one of the maghlubin, the overwhelmed.
So now they hold Prophet Yunus, and they're about to drop him into the sea. When they are bringing on this side, there's a huge fish coming and opening up his mouth,
ready to gulp Prophet Yunus. Well, they're not going to do that. They take him towards the other side of the boat to drop him there in the ocean. And the same fish turns around quickly and opens the mouth.
Again, they tried so many times, but they cannot avoid. They cannot avoid what Allah has destined. We can never avoid what Allah has destined. Prophet Yunus is the prophet. He understood that this fish is muwakkal bi hukmillah. He is commanded by the command of Allah to do what he is doing.
This also requires ma'rifat, brothers and sisters, to discover what is happening. Because we sometimes tend to fight against the qada and qadr of Allah.
Isn't it right? And you can never fight. You will be a failure and loser if you start fighting against his qada and qadr. Instead, we are supposed to deal with Allah with sabr and taslim and rida. Not by battling against the qada and qadr and thinking that we can outsmart Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Na'udhu billah.
Isn't it right? Prophet has said to Abu Dharr in his wasaya and his wasiyyat and his advices to Abu Dharr that قَدْ جَرَى الْقَلَمْ بِمَا هُوَ كَائِنْ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ صَدَقَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Certainly, Prophet said the truth and nothing but the truth. He said to Abu Dharr that قَدْ جَرَى الْقَلَمُ, certainly the pen has moved, bima huwa ka'in, about everything, about what is going to happen, ila yawmil qiyamah, till the day of judgment. So every single thing that is going to happen, the divine pen has already moved to write it down on the divine slate. And our urafa say, قَدْ جَفَّ الْقَلَمْ بِمَا هُوَ كَائِنْ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ,
that the ink of the pen has dried up about all what it has written that is going to happen on the day till the day of judgment. It's dried up. So it's not going to write anything further. So let's stop battling against the qada and qadr. This is called himaqat and stupidity of a person and lack of ma'rifat.
those who are battling against the qada and qadr. They are wasting their time and asking failures. Allah does not bend on His principles. Alhamdulillah, that's His justice. So we find that Yunus discovered this fish is also an assigned, you know, he's assigned on behalf of the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do that. So he was caught by the fish. And then Allah commands the fish. Look at the arrangement of Allah. Obviously, Hazrat Yunus is not mutakabbir. Hazrat Yunus, his nation was mutakabbir. But they were showing arrogance. But Hazrat Yunus was mutawadhi towards Allah. He was modest towards Allah. And he is a mahbub and muqarrab in the eyes of Allah. And Allah always helps the muqarrabeen and mahbubeen. So now Prophet Yunus is mutawadhi. He has to be helped. Now Allah commands that fish, the narration tells us, he is not your tu'ma, he is not your food. That means Allah is commanding the fish, you cannot consume him. So the narration says that fish did not consume any food for next 40 days. For 40 days the fish stays hungry. Because of the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I already told you that fish is also part of Alamut Takween. And there is zero disobedience in Alamut Takween. They do as commanded. It's we humans, you find so many people are not ready to fast in the month of Ramadan. Isn't it right? But the fish is ready to fast for 40 days on the command of Allah. That's the difference between Alamut Tashree and Alamut Takween. Because of the arrogance that we have towards Allah. Isn't it? We think we are smart, we think we are open-minded. Isn't it? We can decide in the presence of the pre-existing hukum of the Creator. And some people end up saying, it doesn't make sense to me. Doesn't make sense to me. That means what you are trying to say, the law of the Creator of intellect does not make sense to you. Isn't it right? That's what you are trying to say. The one who created your intellect and every intellect, His law doesn't make sense to you? Is that the kind of Lord you believe in, that He can legislate a law which is against the intellect? The one who is the creator of intellect can do that? So every problem that we face in the practical issues of life returns back to one or several problems that a person is facing in the usuluddin, in the roots of the religion. And then that fish is eaten up by another fish, the narration says. And that another second fish is eaten up by the third fish. So Hazrat Yunus is now residing in the belly of the smaller fish, which is consumed by a bigger one. And that second bigger one is consumed by a further bigger one. Between the belly of three fishes, Hazrat Yunus is surviving. Isn't it right? And now the narration says Allah converted the body of that fish as transparent, so that Yunus can see around him. And the fish is now commanded to transfer and to make him travel to seven oceans in the world. He was given the travel to visit all the seven oceans. And then the fish is commanded to take him to the depths of the oceans, the narration tells us. And in the depths of the oceans, that's where in the qa'r of the bahr, in the depths of the oceans, he hears the tasbih of those existences whose habitat was to live at the depths of the oceans. He heard the tasbih of the existences living at the depths of the oceans saying this kind of zikr towards Allah, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimeen. This is the zikr of the existences of the depths of the oceans. Allah made sure that Hazrat Yunus ends up hearing that zikr. When he hears that zikr, he started to repeat that zikr. Isn't it right? And now the muqarrabeen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Allah that we are hearing a familiar voice from an unfamiliar place. The voice of Hazrat Yunus is familiar to the muqarrabeen because he is part of the muqarrabeen. Isn't it right? The souls of all the Salihin are friends with each other. مَا تَعَالَفَ مِنْهَا اِتَلَفَ Isn't it right? وَمَا تَنَاكَرَ مِنْهَا اِخْتَلَفَ. So all those salihin are friends in that world. Their souls are friends with each other. So they said to Allah, we are hearing a familiar voice from an unfamiliar place. And Allah told them that I have punished my servant Yunus. And they did the wasila towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the barakat of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. Please say salawat. And because of the wasila of the muqarrabeen, we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now commands Hazrat Yunus to be brought back to the shore. The fish brings him back, and in a land which has zero plantation, just like a barren land. And Allah in a barren land commands a tree to be grown immediately. A pumpkin tree was grown immediately and spreading the leaves of the tree over the body, because his body got so weak by staying in the wet place inside the stomach. His skin got so weak. Isn't it right? The sun rays were hurting him. So Allah, by miracle, grew a pumpkin tree immediately in a barren land. This is the qada and qadr of Allah. Let's have tawakkul. So we find, and Allah commands a mountain goat to come and provide milk to Prophet Yunus. A mountain goat comes and provides the milk. They're all part of Alamut Takween, zero disobedience. And Hazrat Yunus' body gets stronger. And after a while, the narration says he walks away to some place. And when he returns back, he saw that small pumpkin tree, miraculously grown by Allah, is no longer there. It's dried up. I mean, it's no longer fresh. It's dried up. So he became upset. And that's where Allah sent him the revelation. That you became upset upon the leaves of the tree drying up. And you didn't become upset upon the arrival of a punishment on over 100,000 humans? They would have been killed, isn't it right? That means you left them and they were about to be killed. 100,000 plus human beings were servants of Allah, were about to be killed, and you didn't feel upset upon them, and you were feeling upset on a tree drying up. And he realized what he did. So go back to your town, and they are waiting for you. All of them are mu'mins. Because obviously when, just like I narrated, they repented and they did nadamat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replaced the azab with the rahmat, and they became mu'mins. And the king of that town announced to the community to find Hazrat Yunus. Well, nobody can find. People said he died because he was gulped by the fish. They cannot find him. So these are the stories that we learn about tawadu and takabbur. The tawadu of Hazrat Yunus displayed by the zikr he did towards Allah, and the takabbur of the people that they displayed, and then their tawadu towards Allah after the takabbur. What earns the tawadu mutawadu'een? How they earn the closeness towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the king announced that whoever can find Yunus, I'm going to give my kingdom to him, because I want to serve as a slave, as a servant for him for the rest of my life. Hazrat Yunus comes back to his town and he finds a shepherd with some of his goats or sheep. And he asked them to give him some milk. He said, well, since Yunus left, there is no rain in our town, and there is no plantation growing in our town either, so my goat has no milk. He said, bring me that goat. There was a goat standing there, goat or sheep. He said, bring me. And he brought it, he put his hand over the back of the goat or sheep, and it started to have the milk. It's a miracle of the hope, Hazrat Yunus alayhi salam. He said, are you Yunus? And he said, yes, I am. He said, I'm not going to accept that claim until you show me a miracle. He said, this tree and stone, there was a tree and stone next to him, will bear witness, and they both bear witness for the sake of Hazrat Yunus alayhi salam. So he rushed to the king to get the prize, because this shepherd wanted to become the king of the town by first bringing the news to the king. He rushed to the king, and king sent his people to verify. And obviously when it got verified, the long story short is that the king gave the kingdom to this person and he himself, because he gained this much ma'rifat and recognition of the Nabi and the Hujjat of Allah, he became a khadim and a servant of Hazrat Yunus for the rest of his life. This is how the tawadhu earns you that closeness and salvation. This salvation is earned by the tawadhu of the king. So we find that Prophet has said, "Mad dunya fil akhirah." This dunya in towards akhirat is just like like a person, one of you, you know, puts his sabbaba, his finger, his index finger into the ocean. Fal yanzur bima yarji. Prophet says, then he should see what returns back. If you dip your index finger into an ocean, how much water returns back in your finger? Our holy Prophet, you know, whom the idol worshippers of Makkah used to call Sadiq and truth teller and Amin and trustworthy, he said that the parable and example of this dunya towards akhirat is that you, one of you dips a finger in the ocean and see what remains on the finger. This much water. That's the example of this dunya towards the ocean, the akhirat. But there are still people who are running after dunya, isn't it right? Short-sightedness. And we find that the narrator says, "I saw the Holy Prophet sleeping on the floor." Prophet didn't have a mattress to sleep, isn't it right? Sleeping on the floor, the mattress he had, which was not a mattress, it was made of the leaves of the date palm tree. Leaves of date palm tree has no value, it's just free of cost, and it's just fallen down on the ground, isn't it right? Leaves of the date palm tree. And that's where it was spread there, he was lying down over the leaves. So this narrator says, you know, Anas bin Malik, he says, "I saw, they were, when Prophet woke up, there were marks of that leaf on his body." Obviously, it's a leaf. You, when you sleep over that, it will leave the marks. So he said, "Ya Rasulullah, kings of Rome and Persian Empire, Kaisar and Kisra, they are sleeping on harir and silken beds. Whereas you, the seal of the messengers, you are the greatest person, you are sleeping on the leaves of the date palm tree." And Prophet replied back, "Lahumu dunya wa lana al-akhirah." For them is dunya and for us is akhirat. So we find that this is the tawadhu of Rasulullah. And when Hazrat Isa alayhi salam was passing by, please say salawat. When Hazrat Isa alayhi salam was passing by from a town, and he discovered with his Hawariyin, his companions, that the whole town was punished by Allah. Anyone who shows arrogance towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, isn't it right, gets punished. So we find this town showed punished, and those showed arrogance, and all of them died. Their bodies were lying on top of the land, it was not even buried. Hazrat Isa said that they were killed by the azab of Allah. One of the Hawariyin said, "Well, why don't you just, you know, pray to Allah to make one of these people alive so we can discover what was their fault so we can avoid that kind of behavior towards Allah." He prays two rakats of prayers and prays to Allah, and Allah makes one of the people alive. And this person said to Hazrat Isa, when inquired the reason, he said, "There were two reasons why we got punished. One was hubbud dunya, and the second was ibadatut tahut. Because we were loving dunya, and the second was we were worshipping the tahut, the un-Islamic rulers and the zalim rulers." Isn't it right? Some people find it very hard to talk about tahut. Isn't it right? That's why we find that there are people who are supporting the Tawhid and claiming to be the followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Whereas these two things are impossible to get combined. So we find that the revenge is going to be taken. And that revenge was indicated in the Qasida of Di'bal,
that he mentions in front of Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam.
Talking about the Imams, Da'bal wrote his famous historic qasida and poem,
and in that qasida he promised to himself that he's not going to read this qasida in front of no one ahead of Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam. So he travels all the way and comes towards in Khurasan, where Imam Ridha was forcibly taken by Mamun Rashid, the capital of Mamun Rashid, La'natullah alayhi's government was Marv, the city of Marv, which is in Turkmenistan.
So he comes all the way to meet Imam Ridha alayhi salam. Mamun Rashid also finds out that this is, Da'bal has arrived. Da'bal was probably the most famous poet in those days.
So everybody was waiting for the poets to come and say things, because obviously poetry is an effective means of transferring the message. So Da'bal comes and recites this qasida, Mudarisul Ayat,
how we call it in the history, qasida of Mudarisul Ayat. And that's he recites in front of Imam Ar-Ridha alayhi salam, talking about each of those Imams of Ahlul Bayt one by one.
And then he mentions the father of Imam Ar-Ridha, Imam Al-Kazim alayhi salam. He says, "Wa qabrun bi Baghdadin li nafsin zakiyatin." There is a grave in Baghdad for a pure and clean personality. So he talks about the azmat and greatness of Imam Al-Kazim alayhi salam. And then Imam Ridha alayhi salam says, "Wa qabrun bi Tusin ya laha min musibatin." There is a grave in Tus. What kind of musibat that it has? And Da'bal says, "Mawla, I don't know any grave of you Ahlul Bayt in Tus," that means in Khurasan. And that's where Imam Ridha alayhi salam tells him that soon he will become shaheed and he will be buried in Tus. And then Imam Ridha alayhi salam adds a shi'r in the qasida of Da'bal himself. And he says that, "Do you let me add the shi'r in your qasida with which your qasida will become complete?" And then Imam alayhi salam says, talks about, "Ilal hashre hatta yab'asallahu qa'iman yufarriju anna al-hamma wal-kurubati." That means the qabrun betusin was the one that was added by the Imam actually. And then this shi'r was recited by Da'bal, that this pain for Ahlul Bayt is going to continue till the time that Imam Al-Qa'im alayhi salam is going to rise up, and he's the one who is going to remove the huzn and sorrow and pain from the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam.
So we are all waiting for that Imam to take the revenge.
And Imam Ridha alayhi salam awarded him with his abba. And he said to Da'bal that value this abba, because for 1,000 nights, and each of the prayers had been said in this abba for 1,000 nights, and in each of those 1,000 nights, 1,000 rakats have been prayed.
Look at the gifts that our Imams gave. There is a narration that tells us that the Imam Ridha alayhi salam,
whenever he used to send gifts to some of his followers and his believers, he used to send the turbat of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam.
This is the gift that they used to send. This is the best gift possible. So we find when he reaches back to Qum,
the people took away that abba, made it pieces to grab some piece of that abba from him. But Imam Ridha alayhi salam is ghareeb.
He's the gharibul ghuraba.
He's the most lonely of all our Imams. Isn't it right? Because he's the farthest away from his home and his entire family. And there's no members of his family along with him. And we find that Imam Ridha alayhi salam is poisoned by Mamun al-Rashid. And Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam comes miraculously from Medina to do the ghusl and kafan and the tashi'ul janaza for the Imam, because our belief says that only a ma'soom can bury and do all these services for the ma'soom. And in the narration we learn that there's a huge gathering present in the janaza and the tashi' of Imam Ridha alayhi salam. It was taken out with sha'an and azamat. But we find, I would like to say to my Mawla Imam Rida alayhi salam, that there is a janaza in your family, the janaza of Abi Abdullah al-Husayn, which is lying in the Maidan of Karbala, which is lying there for 3 days, and there is no one to come forward to provide the kafan and ghusl. Before Imam al-Mazloom, Sayyidul Shuhada alayhi salam, there is no one to provide that. And we find that now Hazrat Fidda alayhi salam, she comes and tells Hazrat Zainab that they are planning to trample upon the janaza of Imam al-Mazloom with the hooves of the horses. I don't know how Hazrat Zainab tolerated all these masaib. She is the Umm al-Masaib. She Hazrat Fizza says, I have a big news for you. And she replies that I have no news remaining big. After the death of her brother, after the shahadat of Imam al-Mazloom, obviously there is no news big for her. So we find Hazrat Fizza says they are trying to trample upon the janaza of Imam al-Mazloom. Mawla ke jasad-e-athar ko گوڑوں کے سبو سے پامال کرنا چاہتے ہیں. نہ جانے شہزادی کے دل پہ کیا گزری ہوگی. فقام عشرتم من الفوارس, 10 گھوڑوں کو آمادہ کیا جا رہا ہے, گھوڑوں کی نال بندی ہو رہی ہے کہ مولا امام مظلوم کے جنازے کو کچلا جا سکے, کیونکہ بقیہ جو شہداء ہیں ان کے قبیلے والے آئے ہیں اور ہر قبیلے والا اپنے اپنے شہیدوں کے جنازوں کو لے گیا, مگر فقط میرے مولا امام مظلوم کا جسد اتھر ہے جو زمین کربلا پہ پڑا ہے بے گور و کفن, کیونکہ آپ کے کوئی قبیلے والا نہیں ہے. کتنے مظلوم ہیں میرے مولا, کوئی قبیلے والا نہیں ہے جو امام حسین کے جنازے کو بچا سکے. چنانچہ گھوڑوں کے سووں کے تحت مولا کے جنازے کو کچلا گیا. کتنا کچلا گیا, یہاں تک کہ مولا کی قمیض کو بھی لوٹا گیا, یہاں تک کہ مولا کے امامے کو بھی لوٹا گیا, یہاں تک کہ مولا کے سر کو نیزے پہ بلند کیا گیا. جب یہ لٹا ہوا قافلہ عزاداروں کوفے پہنچتا ہے تو جناب حبیب کے فرزند قاسم ابن الحبیب, جب ان کو اطلاع ملی کہ یہ لٹا ہوا قافلہ کوفے آیا ہے, تو ایک مرتبہ آتے ہوئے اس قافلے کے قریب وہاں پہنچے, قاسم ابن الحبیب پہنچے تو دیکھا کہ اپنے بابا کا سر ایک گھوڑے میں لٹکا ہوا موجود ہے ایک شقی کے پاس. قاسم ابن حبیب سے رہا نہیں گیا, فوراً تلوار کھینچ لی. ارے میں یہ برداشت نہیں کر سکتا کہ میرے بابا کا سر ان کے قاتلوں کے پاس رہے. ارے جی چاہتا ہے کہ امام سجاد سے عرض کروں, مولا نہ جانے آپ کے دل پہ کیا گزری کہ آپ نے اپنے بابا کا سر کربلا سے کوفہ, کوفے سے شام تک لوکے نیزہ پہ دیکھ رہے ہیں اور کوئی بچانے والا نہیں ہے, کوئی نصرت کرنے والا نہیں. وہ یہی سر جو نوکے نیزہ پہ تھا یہ ایک دفعہ زمین میں گڑ جاتا ہے, اب آگے نہیں بڑھ رہا, سرے مولا آگے نہیں بڑھ رہا. چنانچہ شمر لعین تازیانہ لے کے آگے بڑھتا ہے امام سجاد کو اذیت دینے کے لیے کہ میں اس وقت تک اذیت دیتا رہوں گا جب تک آپ کے بابا کا سر آگے نہیں بڑھ جاتا. چنانچہ میرے مولا نے اپنے بابا سے سبب پوچھا تو کٹے ہوئے سر سے آواز آئی, ارے سکینہ کہیں گر گئی ہے. معلوم ہوا کہ سینے پہ سونے والی سکینہ کہیں مرکب سے نیچے گر گئی. اب امام نے امام مظلوم امام بیمار سید سجاد شہزادی زینب سے کہہ رہے ہیں, ارے اور کس سے کہیں گے, شہزادی زینب ہے جو ہمیشہ مدد کر رہی ہے. شہزادی سے کہا, مگر میں نہیں جانتا زاداروں کہ میری شہزادی کیسے زمین پہ آئی, کیونکہ پشتے ناکا پہ بیٹھی تھی, ہاتھ تو رسن بستا تھے, اب چہرے کے بل گری یا کیسے آئی میں نہیں جانتا. شہزادی مرکب سے نیچے اتری, صحرا کی جانب بڑھتی جاتی ہے, سکینہ کو تلاش کرتی جاتی ہے, سکینہ نظر نہیں آ رہی. اچانک دیکھتی ہے کہ صحرا میں ایک نقاب پوش بیوی بیٹھی ہے, چہرہ ڈھکا ہوا ہے, سکینہ کے ساتھ پیار و محبت و شفقت سے پیش آ رہی ہے. ارے یقیناً
زینب جے دادی زینب نے اتنی محبت کرنے والا کوئی نہیں دیکھا ہوگا. چنانچہ اب جب پوچھا ان بی بی سے کہ آپ اپنا تعارف تو کرائیں، ایک مرتبہ سیدہ کونین نے اپنے چہرے سے نقاب پلٹی، بیٹی زینب ارے مجھے نہیں پہچانا، ارے میں کیوں حسین کے یتیموں سے محبت نہ کروں.
الا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا اي منقلب ينقلبون انا لله وانا اليه راجعون. الهي بحق الصحراء وابيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها بار لها پرچم اسلام کو سر بلند فرما، پرچم کفر و شرک و نفاق کو سر نگون فرما، انقلاب اسلامی کی حفاظت فرما، تمام علماء ربانیین تمام مراجع کرام بالخصوص رہبر انقلاب کا سایہ ہمارے سروں پہ برقرار رکھ، تمام مجاہدین اسلام کی توفیق میں اضافہ فرما، تمام مومنین کی جان و مال و آبرو کی حفاظت فرما، تمام مومنین کی مشہور حاجات کو پورا فرما، تمام مومنین کو وظائف شرعیہ پر عمل کرنے کی توفیق عنایت فرما، بارالہ بانی مجلس کی اس عبادت کو قبول فرما، ان کے مرحومین کی مغفرت فرما، بارالہ ان کی مشہور حاجات کو پورا فرما. ہمیں اس وقت تک اس دنیا سے نہ اٹھا جب تک امام زمانہ ہم سے راضی نہ ہو جائے. ان کے ظہور میں تعجیل فرما، ہم سب کو ان کے انصار و اشیاء میں قرار دے. ربنا تقبل منا انک انت السمیع العلیم.